critics tend to just pan the entire genre as, you know, cheaply produced, something the networks can do for money, panders to our worst feelings, that sort of thing. And you take a different tack in the book, at least on the latter criticism.
Well, not only in the book, but just at the university, I sometimes joke that higher education needs to make room in some modest way, in any case, for the lowest forms of popular culture and television, reality TV, for instance. And about 5 years ago, I was sent by the Condi Rice's State Department to the Slovak Republic and taken throughout the country and endlessly presented as a professor of reality television. And I left convinced that they imagine that there are such things in the United States as a professor of reality television. Our book, which I co-authored with Laurie Ouellette, who's a professor at the University of Minnesota in Twin Cities, takes a slightly different tack. We think about reality television as a term that has emerged sort of in the popular usage of referring to a kind of television that may have a long history, and there are some good reasons to think about its relation to even the earliest days of television, live television, and so on in this country, but that it seems to coalesce as a kind of form on television, whether you think about it as a style of television, having a kind of formal or even, if you will, if I could use the term advisedly, aesthetic kind of consistency to it, or that it refers to a way of producing and marketing television, and that we date to roughly the beginning of this decade, more or less. And beyond that, we ask, in our book, perhaps differently than some other accounts of reality TV, is it any small coincidence that reality television emerges contemporaneously with the Bush and Cheney administration? Not to say that there aren't some continuities in terms of television or in terms of a kind of a set of political programs and policies that precede the Bush and Cheney administration, but to the extent that reality television has emphasized a set of programs for, in part, I mean, and I'm balking here because I think it's such a huge actual area, rather than just maybe the most famous shows. We think about, for instance, shows like Survivor and Apprentice, Extreme Makeover, Home Edition, and Wife Swap, and so on, that I think most people would connect with reality TV, but we're also interested in just the proliferation of instructional and educational venues like the Home and Garden Network and Dr. Phil and the Learning Channel and the Discovery Channel that arguably in some ways have commercialized something that you might recognize as educational television. And so we see that as having happened in this part of the in this decade.
And you make the connection between those types of reality TV shows and the cable networks that you mentioned as self-improvement, as giving sort of a moral guidepost that pulling yourself up from the bootstraps is the way to go.
Exactly. And certainly self-enterprise or do-it-yourself is not it is arguably a deeply embedded value or mythology in the United States. But we also see it as having become consonant with a set of policy programs that were about breaking dependencies on the state, on government, and the tendency to privatize, to outsource all sorts of public services, welfare, arguably the debate that we're having now about health care, is still in some ways about the limits of government, the responsibilities of citizens, and the role of private corporate providers. to use that word with respect to healthcare within all of that. So, you know, we see it as no small coincidence that there was a sort of bubbling up of programs like Extreme Makeover Home Edition that has been arguably one of the stalwarts of the reality TV years on ABC that in many ways is about rewarding not just self-enterprisers, not people like on Donald Trump's The Apprentice who are striving to be a kind of paragon of self-enterprise, but more people who are trying to give back and who in that way weekly valorize the role of private corporations like Disney and ABC in being public providers of welfare and service and so
but,
on.
But in the end, we have, you know, a very select few groups of families, the Montgomerys here in Philo, as being very lucky and having their fantasies fulfilled because of the work that they've put in. But that doesn't happen to 99.99% of people who
absolutely
do that.
And it's, I mean, it's not lost on my undergraduate students when we thought they usually are quick to point out that, you know, is this just a kind of optic? Is it just sort of providing the an illusion that there is, in fact, some kind of help and outreach when, in fact, it's it resembles something closer to a kind of lottery of being a lucky recipient of not like the clearinghouse giveaway, but of being rewarded really for doing some kind of public service on a small scale, right? And I'm generalizing because there it's interesting even to look at that show and see the kinds of good citizens that it is rewarding. I mean, the local example of Extreme Makeover Home Edition was a man who is organizing and administering a kind of outreach here locally, but sometimes it's National Guardsmen, it's soldiers who are in Afghanistan or Iraq who are being rewarded in part for their public service and represents, in that sense, an interesting kind of connection between sort of the privatized providers of whatever and government service, whether it's the military, in other words, or other forms of welfare.
So there are some gains that society gets from a show such as this. It's just
well, if you go, one of the things that we talk about in our book is the ways in which ABC Disney has had for many years on their website what they call the Better Community Initiative, in which they link visitors to their website to many nonprofits, forms of volunteerism, and philanthropic work. And they tie that in to specifically Extreme Makeover Home Edition, their sort of flagship show that has been about that. So in that sense, you could say that they are mediating various kinds of networks of involvement, of becoming active. And so this sort of active or interactive citizenship is, I think, one of the hallmarks of reality TV. It's just that we want to tie it to point out, to underscore that sort of active citizenship, enterprising citizenship, also has something to do with this sort of mentality over the last 9 years of doing good, of faith-based and community initiatives and so on.
Now, a lot of these shows, especially Extreme Makeover, has gotten a lot of critical hits for being very commercialized, for, in fact, doing some innovative things because people are TiVoing through the commercials. They do a lot of product placement. A lot of the commercials happen in the body of the show. Thoughts on that? Is that a good or bad thing?
Well, I think it is whether one thinks that reality TV is the new paradigm, and there are good reasons to suggest that it's not going away on the one hand, but on the other hand, that older dramatic and fiction sorts of programs, Desperate Housewives that follows Extreme Makeover Home Edition, for instance, are not going away either. But it is a way of marketing and distributing and merchandising through television that I think has begun to change. And as you say, one of the features of that is that practice of embedding product endorsements, which is actually a very early practice in television. It goes back to the Texaco Star Theater and Goodyear Playhouse and ways in which single sponsors would pay writers and actors to insinuate references to a product into the show. But now we've got in The Apprentice, for instance, the first season of The Apprentice, which was a showcase of Donald Trump's various enterprises, tasks, games that were created around his companies and his products and his brand. And so in the Extreme Makeover Home Edition, where not only the Disney brand is referred to as they send the lucky couple or contestants to Disneyland, but Sears and Kenmore products that are used to, and the person who's I'm sorry, I'm forgetting his name right now, who's
Ty Pennington.
Ty Pennington, thanks for helping me out, who has interestingly replaced Bob Vea as the spokesperson for Sears, right? To sort of this old house that has morphed into Extreme Makeover Home Edition with Ty Pennington as the spokesperson off of Extreme Makeover Home Edition, if that's really accurate for Sears products.
One thing that I know you didn't want to talk about the balloon incident.
No,
and all
but
that's
I think
happening
this is a
there.
Good this is a good segue in some ways, because I think, I mean, one of the thoughts I'm reluctant to to offer a thought about it, because I'm still thinking about it and because it still is unfolding. Maybe that's one way of explaining why some people seem to be hypnotized by it.
But is it kind of generating the whole genre, generating a type of person who, you know, just lives for the camera in an unhealthy way, as the family is accused of doing?
Well, unhealthy, I mean, to the extent that self-enterprise becomes such a virtue, you can't exactly then turn around and fault a self-enterpriser, right, whose idea of doing it himself and who is going to promote himself as, if nothing else, maybe pathetically, as a candidate for a reality TV show that is not yet in production, but he might get into it. I mean, there's a whole interesting dimension to reality TV. It's just the whole question of amateurs who are aspiring to be, if not celebrities, at least professionally involved as amateurs in reality TV programs. And I remember for a while there were videos that were obtainable at Blockbuster and those sorts of places of people who were trying out for The Real World or for Jackass or for any of the young-oriented reality TV programs. So, I mean, I think of him in some ways, especially since it's increasingly become evident that as a former actor on Wife Swap, two episodes of Wife Swap, that he had been in conversation with some producers. It's unclear yet exactly what the nature of those conversations were, but that he had imagined that this might be a way of giving himself visibility in order to further a future reality TV show, right? And so it's you're right, it is sad and it's pathetic in some ways, but you have to in some ways square that with the ways in which enterprising citizens and individuals have been rewarded on reality TV shows, too.
It's all for the show.
Well, yeah.
Anything else to add?
Anything else to add? I mean, the other thing that I might say just quickly is just the way in which reality television shows, I mean, this I think one of the things that fascinates a lot of critics, pundits, everyday onlookers to some of this is just the difference, or asking what is the difference between a reality TV show and the something called the news, and the extent to which there is a, I don't think just an obsession with a balloon that floats, but then becomes a series of revelations that then continue the story, but in the news. I think it speaks in some ways to the variety of converging news media, professional and amateur, that support news events and news stories these days. And I think in that sense, it's interesting to think about the ways in which not only the television news or radio news that cover this story, but the viral videos that have spun out of it that themselves become the subject of news programs. And if you think of his own project as kind of an attempt to viral market himself, then this is either stupidly or shrewdly something that inserts itself into that whole bloodstream, right?
Then again, you know, we, like you mentioned, history has a way of repeating itself, and there was that blend back in the 50s with the quiz show scandals when television, someone's concoction came into the news and
I guess maybe that would be the last point that I would want to make, is that reality TV shows often promote themselves or are described by journalists as forms of extreme forms of behavior. And I think to the extent that they are seen as extreme forms of behavior, that this was an extreme form of behavior, they become in some ways the point of public discussions about ethical behavior, about what good parenting is, the couple that was the subject of news coverage during the summer, right, with the 8 children and their divorce and the ongoing sort of soap opera.
John
and Kate, exactly. And the extent to which this is a good father or a bad father, or as a self-enterprising father. And I think that's another sort of way in which whatever the news is, it is in part sort of hovering around an attempt to adjudicate, right, what is proper, normal, or extreme forms of behavior. And I think to the extent that reality TV are these often these bizarre laboratories for putting people into situations where you test their capacities and watch them in a la Big Brother or something.
But the court of public opinion is never going to be short of cases at this point.
Exactly.
With all that's going on.
Exactly.
All right.